5 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Got another closure update for you for tomorrow from Poudre School District. All Poudre School District schools. Why am I having a hard time with that? Because we were joking about it in the break. Schools will be closed Wednesday, January 18th. All Poudre School District schools will be closed Wednesday, January 18th due to the predicted inclement weather and road conditions. This is not a remote learning day, FYI. So that, I always thought that sucked for me.
It's an actual snow day.
So it's an actual snow day. I didn't think they gave snow days anymore because you can just learn from home. You know, dude, you didn't get snow. So what am I talking about?
No, we did.
Did you get sprinkles and you were like, you know what? We don't want to be out in the rain today.
No, rain was never
an
issue.
Did you ever cancel school for anything?
Yeah.
For what?
I had snow days, I think, 2 or 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's about as many as I had.
Well, I mean, we only need like an inch of snow and the whole city shuts down.
Well, nobody drives in snow. You're not prepared for it.
No, I think there was definitely twice when I was like in elementary school. And then when I was in high school, we had a major, major ice storm that like went over the entire state. And like almost the entire state was shut down because of it.
Wow.
Like we were out of school for like 3-4 days.
Wow.
Because like you just could not go anywhere because of the ice.
Slipping all over the place.
It was awful.
We never canceled. We would cancel games maybe if there was a predicted storm coming in. Like if it was noon and they're like, yeah, the storm's coming in at like 5 and it's going to be terrible. But I don't remember. We didn't do that very often. Like we didn't cancel because a storm was coming.
It was usually because the storm came
and then it was like, oh, that's why.
If it was like a bad thunderstorm, like I remember driving to school in a bad, bad thunderstorm thinking there's no way we have class today and everyone still showed up. Like tornadoes, rain, nope, you're going to school.
Yeah.
Ninja snow? Nope. Shut it down.
Yeah. Well, like, I grew up on a farm 30 miles out of town, so I took a school bus most of the time until I got my license, of course.
Sometimes you just walked.
Sometimes I did. Uphill both ways. But sometimes they wouldn't cancel school all the way. They would just say bus routes aren't going out. So we would actually get a pass for that.
Wow.
But, dude, living on a farm, snow days suck. Because it's like,
it's not a day off.
We saw our name. We're canceled. We're out. Yes. And you're still in your sweatpants and your PJs. And you're like, yeah. And then my dad, like, you can hear him coming upstairs. Looks like you're home today. We got stuff to do. It's like, fantastic. So
let's
never really enjoy. It was feeding cows or whatever. It was never really a snow day. A full, like, you know, I'd be out in the morning until 11 or something. And then you'd come back in. But still. Best part of snow days.
11 o'clock is, that's late.
Yeah, right?
Could have had so much done before then.
Exactly. So, unfortunately. And then I even had a basketball coach. He wasn't supposed to do this, but he'd be like, the captains would do it. We got a snow day, but then everything cleared up throughout the day and it's like actually nice in the afternoon. Coach couldn't organize it, but we could go in to go to practice as a team if we wanted to.
Did you guys actually practice?
Yes, because we had freaking jerks that were like the senior, oh, go play better basketball today. It's like, dude, come on.
Our coach just had to stop that with us.
I remember when our coach wasn't there. He couldn't be there. But how did they get wind of the court just happens to be unlocked. The gym, we can go into it. So, you know, after we get done with the chores or whatever, and it'd be like 11, 12, buddies of mine, farm kids, we'd meet up. Drive out, because we can drive. We just drive out and go sledding and do crazy stuff, whatever. And then we'd get like a call, like because we had the radios back in those days, not cell phones.
Whoa.
And like one of our dads would be like, hey, just got a call from Kyle, one of your teammates, who said that they're going to organize a little practice this afternoon. You guys should get out there for that. And we're like, one of my best friends, he didn't play basketball. He didn't do winter sports. He was so, because we were all having fun and he gets to hang out with us. And he was so pissed. He's like, are you freaking kidding me? They're going to make you go in. Just don't go. But if you didn't go, the little captains, little special captains would be like, yeah, they didn't come in.
Yeah, that was me my senior year. Once I got named captain, I was like, yeah, we're changing things. We're going to change how we do things here.
Like lesser or more? You added more. Oh, I would hate
you. I was young and we like coach would say, hey, coach, it's not going to be a practice. Just go, you know.
Yeah.
Go run 4 or 5 miles.
Uh-huh.
We would run a mile and then go fool around.
We
would go to like this neighborhood that was like a private neighborhood, and we would go there and they had a playground. And a bunch of us, like 20 or so high school students, went to a playground to get out of practice. Until there, our coach started driving the neighborhood and he found us.
Oh, I love it. Track coaches are so trusting, man. Go run 3 miles over there in the wilderness. Okay, will do.
I can't see
you. Not going to hide behind this tree for 2 minutes or for 6 minutes.
Until your coach pulls around and says, hey.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm going to the bathroom, you perv. Leave me alone.
We got in bad trouble for doing that. We were hiding out in a ditch. And our coach pulled up right next to us. Yeah. Nobody saw it.
Oh, that's the worst.
Panic.
Oh, it's so bad. But no, we would, like, and I was an okay player. I was a good defense player. So that's what all bad basketball players say, is they were really good at defense. But I wasn't good enough to not go to extra crap. Meaning, if I wanted more playing time, I needed to show up all the time and be at practice for basketball. Football is a different story. Most of us screwed around, but we were decent. But our coach was like, it's snowing. Hell yeah. I don't care what you guys do. Basketball, different, man. I think he was like a military guy or something, so it was freaky. Great, great man. I love the man to death. Looking back, it taught discipline and everything, but at the time, so did sledding in my friend's empty horse tank that we hooked on to the back of a pickup. That was freaking awesome. Also extremely dangerous because you can get buried with snow in that, and we did, and people had to dig each other out. Those are the days, man. Stuff I will not let my child do today. The things that I did.
No, he rides horses supervised.
Riding horses today, actually. He's doing. Dude, when I was 5, I don't think I rode horse. I was intimidated by horses. So he's riding horses, and I was all like, I'm not going to do that.
Are you still intimidated by them?
No. Riding them? Like, I'm not going to just go get up on a horse that's, like, going to take off and sprint. If it's, like, a nice, slow horse that's maybe a year or two from death, yeah, I'm going to hop on that bad boy. And we're just going to walk it on around.
I'm just imagining you in a stable, and there's just a horse like 6 feet away from you, and you're just, I can't.
No. See, I love horses. I love them. They're awesome to see. And I'll go up and pet them and hug up on them. But then when I get on top of them, I'm like, what happens if this thing just like takes off? What do I do?
Hang on.
Do I bail? So, yeah.
Bail. Hey, bail.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Farm humor.
Little farm humor. Tanner would appreciate that. Tom Brady's girlfriend is a smoke show. Which, did you confirm that?
All 26 years of her.
How old is Tom Brady?
46. Yeah, as old as he wants to.
Is he 40?
I think he's
45?
Pushing 46.
He's got a 26-year-old? Boy, I bet he's real broken up about the whole Giselle thing.
Oh, I'm sure he's at home right now just sulking in a playoff loss.
She better looking than Giselle?
Sulking. She's half her age, so yes. Giselle at 26, sure, but
Tom,
no.
This is why people hate Tom Brady. I lost Giselle. I'm sad. Oh, hey!
She's a model, too.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Broncos forever. Caldwell called that play well.
Is that realistic, Caldwell?
No. That's not happening. No way. Definitely not happening. David Shaw, though. That seems like it's happening. Dixon says yes, and it's not even close.
We know where your mind's at, Dixon.
This is the first time
I've seen... Don't you have a playoff game to get worried about?
Yeah, Dixon, you be focused. It's Tuesday. You're on to Cincinnati.
The Jags coming into town.
The Jags, that's right. Buffalo's on to Cincinnati. Should probably talk about playoffs this weekend. Jags and Jags-Chiefs first game on Saturday. Go. Let's look at the opening spreads here. You are up on me. You're three. You went 500, right?
I believe so.
You got last night because you picked Dallas to cover, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you're up three. You're 3-3. Ob 2-4. Plenty of game left here. Plenty of stuff left to catch you, Angel. So we'll see how we do. To start with, no picks coming today. It's Tuesday. Yeah, he's got to wait till Friday. Jags, Chiefs. Chiefs open up as an 8.5-point favorite.
Wow.
Just 1 point better than the... There were so many 9-point spreads. That spread, Chargers, Jags, was 1.5-point spread. So they anticipated that being a close game. Not a 27-0 blowout, and then the NFL script said, dude... Epic comeback? I think so.
Do you think these spreads are influenced by the previous games? Like,
they gotta be
Miami,
a little bit.
Miami-Buffalo was 14.5.
Yeah.
okay, maybe Buffalo didn't look that good, so let's bring their spread down.
Maybe. I mean, because it's all momentum and all that stuff. Does that go into it?
Or is it being smart with our spreads? Say, hey, well, there was not a lot of blowouts, so let's make these spreads better.
I think that's also true. Because they're, other than last night, the game we were most excited about.
They got to make their money.
That game was the one I was looking forward to the most, Tampa Bay and Dallas, and that was a dud. That was the only real dud of the playoffs. So, Chiefs, 8.5-point spread against the Jags. Giants-Eagles opening up here. Eagles did get the half point, so it's a touchdown and a half point. Philly, 7.5-point favorites over Daniel Jones and company. Sunday, Bengals-Bills, Buffs at home, keep in mind, are 5-point favorites in that game. And then final game of the weekend, no more Monday nights, don't worry, Cowboys-Niners, San Francisco -3.5. How far do you think Dallas can go? Can Dallas pull off an upset here? Is this the game? Every week we're going to do it. Is this the game that Brock Purdy slows down?
I think it's possible.
Dallas's defense looked ridiculous yesterday.
He can't be perfect forever.
He can't be Purdy either. Forever.
He may still have a great game, but I'm waiting for that late in the game crucial interception that he throws that gives Dallas a chance to win.
On paper, these two teams match up pretty well. They have a lot of interesting stars on both sides of the ball. I think the Cowboys need to be using Pollard more like what they're using Christian McCaffrey in that sense. Ezekiel Elliott started to look a little bit better last, at least in the first half of that game. They have a lot of really big stars, both on the defensive side and the offensive side of the ball. So they kind of, this is a nit. That what's your favorite matchup of the weekend? My favorite matchup, I'll go Cowboys. I'm going to go Cowboys 49ers. I know it's going to buck the trend because everybody wants to see Bengals Bills, but I think Cowboys 49ers, that's my favorite matchup of the weekend.
I'm going to go with Giants Eagles. I was really surprised by the Giants last week, and I'm excited to see what Philly does after a break. Maybe get a little healthier. And Jalen Hurts he's my other dude. So
Jalen Hurts, he was sensational this year. Ooh, that's going to be so. The AFC, obviously, they're saying that these two games have a better chance of being not blowouts, but you know, relatively easy for them to win. But Bengals, Bills, Cowboys, Niners. Well, just the second day, not AFC, NFC, but the second day. Second day should be a lot closer. I think it's going
to
be all close.
The NFL script for the AFC is a lot easier to see. It's going to be KC and Buffalo. That's what it's going to be.
I think so.
And this Bengals-Bills game, it's going to be huge because of that, you know, the DeMar Hamlin thing, the rematch, finishing off that game. I still think Buffalo wins, and it's going to be KC Buffalo, it's going to go into overtime. Buffalo's going to get the ball to end it. They're going to win the game. They avenge their overtime loss. They fix the rules so they could win now. And it's all going to be a feel-good story.
So the NFL conspiracy script theory would have you say, Chiefs beat the Jags, obviously. They don't need a script for that. But the Jags, that cute little Trevor Lawrence thing, Doug Peterson.
That story's already played out.
I like you. You're great. We heart and soul. We fought real hard and we're improving. Neato. That worked last week. Don't need it anymore. We got the freaking Chiefs. Andy Reid's on commercials. Patrick Mahomes is a bath bomb guy. He's on commercials. Travis Kelce's all over the place. No, that is clearly the conspiracy theory. The conspiracy script theory goes to the Chiefs. Giants, Eagles. Now, here's what's interesting. Because Daniel Jones has been such an aw shucks, I'm an Eli man, I'm just a regular guy. Well, last week, he didn't look like a regular guy. He looked crazy. Good.
Everyone loves a good sequel.
The Eagles, are they a favorite team? Not favored, a favorite team. Is Jalen Hurts and everybody on that roster, are we big Eagles guys in this country? Or does the conspiracy script theory say the darlings, maybe, Daniel Jones is kind of a darling of the NFL, the Giants pull off the upset?
Well, the Eagles are kind of the regular season darlings.
So they've already been, this is what we want. We're not going to allow the Jags to upset the Chiefs. Nobody wants to see freaking Jags in the AFC Championship. Giants, Eagles, we could see Daniel Jones. Giants have done it before. Everybody loves that story. Giants and Eli Manning dethroning and ending Tom Brady's undefeated season once and then beating them again in the Super Bowl.
It's like a good reboot.
So the conspiracy script theory has you say the Giants upset the Eagles. Bengals, Bills, you're right. Even though they have Macaulay Culkin on their team and all that, it's too much. The Bills are the favorite. Everybody loves Josh Allen. I think people even love Josh Allen even more after all the DeMar Hamlin stuff. Just the way he handled himself, the way this team handled themselves. It will absolutely be the Bills. The conspiracy script theory has the Bills winning this game. Cowboys, Niners. It's America's team versus Brock Purdy, the darling, another darling in the NFL, came out of nowhere. Mr. Irrelevant, Kyle Shanahan, the son of an offensive mastermind, Super Bowl winner. San Francisco, both teams are storied franchises. What does the conspiracy script theory have to say about this game?
I think they're still working on it.
So they've got the writer still in the room.
Yeah. What would be the better story here?
Well, what's the better story? You don't want to see Cowboys, Cowboys, Giants, Niners, Giants.
That could be fun.
All works. What does the theory say? No, I can't read that, Dixon. You keep retexting it. It's not going to get me to read it. What is the better story? Niners or Cowboys? Jerry Jones and his guys and Dak Prescott, or San Francisco, they've got the Brock Purdy situation. What is it? Take a guess. What are you going with? Best story. The one that you know the network channels are just going to eat up and just every single... Brock Purdy, right? It's San Francisco. Because it's going to be Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Irrelevant. No, nobody believed in him. Nobody did. And it's the Niners. So there we go. We have the AFC NFC Championship ready to go. Chiefs, Bills, Giants, Niners. There you go, everybody. According to the conspiracy script theory, it is set.
Spoiler alert.
23 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. Man, I think about those people. If your heater is struggling or whatever, or you kept putting it off, thinking, oh, it's fine. It works for a little bit, and then it gets really cold suddenly. But then if you turn it off for a little bit and then turn it back on, it's fine. You don't want to do that. With these cold days, it just gets worse for you. Be comfortable. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll deal with your heater situation. Free estimates, too. Maybe it's time for a new system at some point, although I would hate to have to do that now. But they'll be there. Air conditioning. You know, it's January 17th. It's not that long. You know, we're going to start getting warmer and warmer days fairly soon, next couple of months. And then you're going to get into the really hot days this summer. Maybe the AC just was working a little too hard last summer. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling now. Free estimates are available. That's lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Nuggets are on a six-game winning streak. They're going up against the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Boy, Angel, we talked about this right before they took on Cleveland, maybe, that they could they rattle off like 10 wins in a row here? And you know what? So far, so good. Going up against Portland tonight, the injury situation for Denver, you have Jamal Murray and Bones Highland both listed as day-to-day. So what do you do if you're Michael Malone? Do you think about giving Jamal a rest day here? It's a Western Conference game, so I hate giving a rest day for that.
It is the first of a back-to-back, too.
That's true. You got Minnesota again. They had Minnesota in the last back-to-back. They lost to them after the Boston game.
So they have four home games this week. Tonight, Wednesday night, Friday night, and Sunday.
Boy, We'll see what Jamal and Bones, because you can't. It sucks if both of those guys are out.
Right,
Jamal and Bones, because you know.
I'd imagine one of them will play.
Bones Highland is an interesting one. I was reading this last week, and we didn't get to it. But in the Denver Post, Mike Singer, his headline in his Nuggets journal that he writes, it's well done. I love what he does. As NBA trade deadline approaches, where does Bones Highland stand? Meaning, if there's anybody of value that's not the most important to your team, it's that those are the guys you can move. I mean, I always cracked up at people last year that are like, you need to trade Will Barton and Monte Morris for like Damian Lillard. It's like you're not gonna get great players, like upper echelon, tier one guys, for a couple of good players. You're looking at if you're even touching a discussion about Bones Highland, you're looking at your biggest weakness right now. What is that for the Nuggets? What is their biggest weakness? Because defensively, they've been pretty good. The depth, the bench has been pretty good. All the two major concerns we had at the beginning of the season have been pretty good the last few weeks, several weeks.
Yeah, the biggest weakness on this team is backup center, somebody that can play minutes when Jokic is off the floor.
There you go. So you look at your biggest weakness. How vital is a backup center to Joker in these playoffs, in the playoffs coming? Because now that's what you're planning for. Because when Joker's out, you don't want it to turn into the Lakers. The Lakers were what the Nuggets were last year. When LeBron's out, the Lakers were awful last night. He had almost 50-some points. And they won, but Houston like made it interesting. Is it worth shopping around for a good enough center? And if so, it's going to take something. You can't trade, you know, a player that doesn't get any minutes. You can't trade an Ish Smith or a Davon Reed. It's got to be somebody that's packing a little bit of a punch. That's why Bones Highland's name comes up. Christian Brown ain't going anywhere. He's a rookie. There's not enough proven value there yet. Bruce Brown, too vital to this team. I would say he's more important than Bones Highland. He's been more of that glue, defensively and offensively. You're not trading Jeff Green for any real value. Zeke Nnaji, there's a name. There's a name right now, and if that's your backup center plan going forward, I don't know. Maybe you're comfortable with that. Obviously, none of the starters. Starting five's out. So the reason you bring up Bones Highland's name is because that's it. That's the only guy of real value that's not the most important piece to what you're doing. And then that's something to consider. Now, I wouldn't do it. I'm staying status quo with this Nuggets roster. But again, the reason Mike Singer brings it up, he's the only guy of value that makes any real sense to trade for a backup center, a guy that can really impact your team. Because starting five, you're set. You're good with the starting five. You're not even touching that. You're not worried about that at all. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I wouldn't touch any kind of a trade deal right now. I'm serious. I think this team is kind of built like a playoff team. A playoff team. Of course they're a playoff team. They're built like a championship team right now. But if you could get a really good center to be a backup to the Joker, who, again, you're not going to. You're not going to get a really good center. You're not going to get a starting caliber center, obviously. Dude, I think you stay the course. I don't think a trade at all needs to be done if you're the Nuggets. And I feel strongly about that.
I do too. You're going to have a hard time finding a center that's going to take backup minutes to Jokic. And you've seen that kind of trend with Malone. It's something he knows that they're lacking. And you saw it last year with Boogie Cousins. You've seen it this year with DeAndre Jordan. Guys that maybe they're not in the prime of their career. They're on the back half of it. No one really wants them as a starter. So let's bring them in to be a backup. And I think it's kind of worked, and if you continue to develop Nnaji and Conchar, I think you can have maybe not a true center backup, but two big forwards.
Conchar is also day-to-day as well for tonight. What's the plan with Zeke Nnaji? That's the big question, is if you think you can make him, because this is the NBA, you know, you don't need a true center until you need a true center, meaning you don't need a true center until you're going up against a team that has a Joel Embiid, a true center. And Zeke's not going to be that guy, but can you get meaningful minutes when their true center is off the floor?
We often describe Jokic as not your traditional center. And he doesn't play like that in this offense, so you don't really need a true center as a backup if you're trying to keep the offensive scheme the same. You're not going to find someone with the same ability as Jokic, but if you can find a guy that's maybe a little more willing to pass the ball.
Which Zeke is, for sure.
Then you don't need we just need a guy that's big down low.
Would you take a Bol Bol today back?
No. We're all like a Bol Bol crazy right now because he came to Denver and showed out.
He's averaging, like, he's doing pretty well this year.
And that's great. He's just not going to do it here.
He admitted to the Denver Post, I think it was Sean Keeler, that he wished he would have changed his approach in Denver, that he wished he would have worked harder.
I always saw it as there was a disconnect between him and Malone in terms of playing time and how to best implement him, because he's not a center and he's not a forward. He is a unique individual.
He can handle the ball like a point guard, but he's built like a center. Maturity, I think, was the big deal. And I know, I trust me, when he was drafted, I loved the little spider web suit that he had on.
That was awesome.
But, you know, you don't think it's a thing until it's a thing. And when you start to see that he's a little immature and stuff, you go, oh, the suit now makes... Did you ever see Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and... what's his face? When they both wear tuxes to interview with Seth Rogen for The Custodian. Mm-hmm. And Seth Rogen's like, yeah, the suits are awesome, man. I love that. It's kind of a parody thing here. You're overdressing for a custodian job. I get it. And then one of the brothers lets one rip, and it's really long and gross and smelly. And then Seth Rogen goes, oh, you guys are weird. The suits kind of make sense now. Okay. That's not as funny as I thought. That's kind of how Bol Bol is to me. I'm like, the suit was awesome when I saw it. And then once I kind of saw how he reacted, he wasn't really a part of the huddles. He'd kind of stand off into the distance when the team would have their team powwow before the game. He was off. They have several videos of that. We're just off to the side. And I said, ah, the Spider-Man suit kind of makes sense to me now. But he did look good the other day. You know, you wondered if that guy, if he could develop into a really talented player. And, you know, obviously we'll see. But, you know, so far he's had a nice season with the Orlando Magic. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's jump out real quickly and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I was just reading some random news. Something about Marcus Morris. That's the Clippers one, right? Said the only reason the Nuggets beat them in the playoffs back in the day was because they were in the bubble. And that may be true. The bubble was weird. And the Nuggets did come back from being down. Were they down 3-0? 3-1. That's right.
3-1
twice. No, hardly anybody's done 3-0, right? 3-1 twice in a row. That's never happened before. And the Nuggets did it. So, yeah, I get it. If I'm going to say the Lakers championship is a sham, then I have to at least say... yeah, there was probably something to that. But since then, the Clippers are 2-8 against the Nuggets. So, I don't know.
It is what it is.
But I just, I love what I'm seeing in the trends in the NBA lately. Milwaukee and Denver. And again, you're molding your own stars. You're creating your own stars.
In Boston, too.
Yeah, absolutely Boston. I mean, but, you know, you could look at the Lakers. And I was watching the Lakers Rockets game last night. I don't know why. I may have a problem. But LeBron James was great. He's still, when he wants to be, when he's in that mode, he's still fantastic. He had almost 48 or almost 50, I think, against Houston. But then I see all these other names, like Anthony Davis on the sidelines again. You know, Russell Westbrook.
What's he doing?
Can't shoot threes. He's still got some touch. He's still got some inside touch. He can, but I was cracking up. Houston's guarding him and falling for pump fakes at the 3-point line. What are you doing?
Let him shoot.
Let him shoot those. But I'm seeing like the Lakers and, you know, the Clippers. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, where's Kawhi Leonard? That's right. I seriously just have a brain fart and I forget that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George play for the Clippers. And you know, Joel Embiid and James Harden, Sixers. Which I don't know why, but they're kind of fun to watch sometimes. But another reason, obviously I'm a Denver Nuggets fan, so I want them to win for so many reasons. But I like the Bucks and the Nuggets because they're starting new trends, and I like new trends that are in a positive direction, not bad for the game. The Nuggets are growing their own stars.
Well, I like how you put it as trends, and you could see it. If you look back at the NBA, you saw it with Boston, with Miami. It was the super team era. It was get as many players on this team as we possibly can. And then it broke down.
The big three.
It broke down into duos. You had Kawhi, Paul George, KD and Kyrie, you know, LeBron and AD. Everyone started pairing up to go make their own team. Meanwhile, the Bucks and the Nuggets and the Celtics, they found their one guy, and they built around him.
Yes, and like Jamal Murray is not a superstar in the NBA.
But he's not. A damn good player.
But he's a damn good player, and he's star quality in Denver. Aaron Gordon, not really a superstar. He was at one point with Orlando. He was up there for
the dunk
contest
and stint, stuff.
You know, he was really, really good. He was up there at that. Maybe for a year or two, he was up in that really upper echelon. Then didn't really get that far, but then he comes to Denver. Still not a superstar in the league, but he's a star in Denver.
Could be an all-star this year.
You could have, I mean, you're not going to get three, are you? Are you going to get three? Jamal? It'd be
it's
Jamal,
it's
Joker.
Between Jamal and AG, and I think AG will get it.
Bones will play in the year 1-2 game, whatever they call that.
Rising Stars.
Yeah, and then he'd be in the three-point competition?
I think he said he wants to.
So if you're in the Rising Stars thing, I think you can qualify. You qualify for both the skills competitions, I think. Dunk contest and the three-point contest.
Please give me Bones on All-Star weekend.
That'd be fun.
He would be the most entertaining person there.
You absolutely want Bones Island there. But like Bones, he's not an All-Star. He's not a household name. Bruce Brown, KCP's not a household name. Never really. He's just a fine player.
You know it because it's a long name.
Yeah. But this has been a team that, like Milwaukee, and to be honest, Golden State did this at first. Now they're doing it again. But they drafted Steph Curry, and they drafted Klay Thompson, and they drafted Draymond Green. And they said, these are our guys we're going to grow with. Then they won a championship, and then they got KD. So you can make an argument and say, well, Golden State fell into that same trap, too.
They got out of it really quickly.
They did. They went two with KD, right?
Yep.
And then they got out of it, and then they won another one. So Golden State has done it both ways, and it's worked out. They just so happened to grow three. Is Draymond Green a megastar? Was he a megastar in his prime?
In that four-year run, yes.
Okay, so they just got lucky. They drafted three guys that were megastars, that came out to be megastars in terms of their position, relative to their position, and you know what they needed to do each and every night.
And they had a coach that knew what he was doing.
Yes. Well, and then they made that decision. You know, Mark Jackson, they liked him, but he wasn't the guy who was going to get him over the hump. So they get so that's what I like about these teams. And Golden State, I think, does lead that. You're right. Boston started this a while ago with the big three, with KG and Paul Pierce and Rondo.
Don't forget Ray Allen.
And then Ray Allen. Yeah, Rondo was the third piece that came after Allen betrayed them and went to freaking Miami, right?
Yep.
And then you had LeBron going to Miami, and then they had their big three, and then they got their 3.5 with Ray Allen. And
then there was OKC with KD, Durant, and Harden. Or
yeah.
KD and Durant.
Which it
person.
Didn't. It just, they weren't there yet.
No.
Which they, that was them. They had their guys. But then their guys got too big in their britches and wanted to leave.
Well, then you look at the Mavericks with Dirk.
Yep.
He was their only player.
Pretty much. I mean, he had Jason Kidd for a little bit. But Kidd was an amazing player. But Kidd was never on the same, I don't believe, on the same tier as Giannis, as the James Hardens, the Jokers, as those guys. He was a tier two guy, not a tier one. But yeah, that's, and it's hard to win like that. It's not going to be easy. You know, when Miami, those two championships that they did win were the 2 years in between, because they lost the two on the outside, they won the two in the middle. They lost the first one, lost the final one. And then the two in the middle, they looked unbeatable. They were so freaking good.
Playing against a very good Spurs team.
Yeah. But the Spurs even made it, like, it was hard work for the Spurs. Like, it looked hard.
But they built it within.
Yes, they did. Spurs are another one. And that's where I think Popovich has so much respect for Nikola Jokic. Talks really highly of him. I like this trend. I also don't mind the trend of superstars teaming up because we're seeing more superstars. We're seeing more guys. We don't have one Michael Jordan than everybody else. We have like 12 Michael Jordans. And sometimes two of those guys are on a team. Two of them are on this team. Luka's like two Michael Jordans. Joker's like two Michael Jordans by himself. So you are seeing it spread out, which is why I think the NBA is so much fun right now.
Well, it reminds me a lot of the 90s in which, yeah, there was Michael Jordan. He was the best, and that team was always stacked. But every other team had somebody.
Yeah.
Like Detroit had their guy. Portland had their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Utah had their guy. And you're seeing that in the NBA now. Memphis with Ja Morant. Trae Young in Atlanta.
Yep.
Everyone has their guy now.
Yeah, I mean that's what's cool is it's spread out because then you could have this long argument over well who's the best on each who's the guy. We have the MVP discussion, but like you can literally go through almost 80% of the teams and pick out a super mega star on everybody's roster, and that's what I think is really fun about this league. But again, I want to see this trend continue of okay, if we can just find a guy, find the best compliments around that guy, we're going to be able to win, do something special in our market. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll jump out, catch what's on the tube tonight, give you closing thoughts on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I saw a headline on ESPN. It's just like, come on, are we dying for stories? Bengals owner wants to keep Burrow for long haul. You think? You might want to hang on to that guy. He's one of the top tier quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think you're going to want to hang on to that guy. It's just so funny, man. It's like all these stories are out there. And then the Bengals want to hang on to their quarterback for a long time. That's breaking news. Anyway, what's on the tube tonight? Portland taking on the Denver Nuggets, 7 o'clock. That'll be on altitude. Also, the Wyoming Cowboys, they've been riddled with injuries, too. Hunter Maldonado got hurt. Or no, he was sick last week. Had to come out of the game. I don't know. He's day-to-day right now if he's going to play. But Wyoming plays Air Force, who suddenly is on a surge in the Mountain West Conference. They play at 7 o'clock tonight. I believe that's going to be on the Mountain West Network. So if you check out their website, you can watch that online for free. So two basketball games locally that we're paying attention to with Portland and Denver, and then Wyoming taking on the Air Force Falcons. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. In closing thoughts today, okay, the big story we started out with, Jim Harbaugh is staying with Michigan. He's going to get his money. He's going to get paid big time. Good news, bad news for the Broncos going forward. The good news is maybe you dodged a train wreck. I don't know. I just kind of got this feeling that maybe Harbaugh is better suited for the college game now. That, you know, managing young men compared to managing millionaires is different. And I know he's done it at that level, but do you get so used to doing it at the college level again? You know, I know he's in college before, but he only had 4 years in the NFL. It's not like he was there that long. He packed a freaking punch in that time. But maybe with the whole Russ thing, Harbaugh's not the guy. Maybe one of those guys is just a little too quirky that's going to try to make this thing work. You need a safer pick, and I believe that guy should be Dan Quinn. And I'm not by any means saying Dan Quinn is safe, like he's we're going to do the right things here, we're going to drink our milk, we're going to go to bed at 8. No, I'm not talking about that. I just think that he's not as much of a wild card. Harbaugh's a wild card. I think Sean Payton's a wild card for many reasons. But the main wild card is that you've got to give up so much draft capital to get him. And so that makes him a wild card. Jim Caldwell hasn't coached in a while. David Shaw is kind of a wild card, but I do like what started off the show with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos talking about the fact that the Broncos are really looking for a CEO type. Well, a guy that's been pretty much the CEO type of a football program at Stanford for over 13, 14 years. It might be who you're looking for. David Shaw is kind of rising to the top in my brain as far as who could be the next head coach. So I'm sitting on Dan Quinn at this point, and I'm saying David Shaw next. Sean Payton's out for me. He's just out. You got to trade too much to get him, and I'm still a little skeptical about his past. All right, that's going to do it for us. Be safe out there tonight. The UNC Coaches Show is tonight at 6. Brew Talk at 5 o'clock. We got you covered here with live and local radio in Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.